Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you this day to Front Porch Talks broadcast.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's program will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Our broadcast is a broadcast of good news. So we hope that at the conclusion of our time together, that you will know for sure that light has come into your world, that something wonderful has been spoken in your direction. And of course, Grayson and I don't have any words of our own that would be good news. We bring the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when we say things like, we pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life, we really mean it. But we want you to know that that hope that we speak of comes from Jesus Christ and is in a personal relationship with Him.
Yes, Dad, certainly our hope comes from Him. And that's the only hope that we have to offer. The only good news that we have to offer is His Word, and Him alone do we find our hope.
Exactly. And actually, we've said on this program time and time again, and we'll hopefully say it time and time again, and that is this. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. So we bring good news to you today from Front Porch Talks. Now, it's kind of the beginning of the new year here. We're about halfway through the first month, and so we're just barely past the afterglow of the Christmas season, and we're looking forward to a whole future that we have not lived yet. We don't know exactly, you know, what's going to be out in front of us, but we know who will be out in front of us, the same one who's with us, and that is Jesus, the one we've been speaking of already. So our prayer is on this program, on this broadcast, week after week, that God will have His way over the airwaves, so to speak. We pray that His desires would happen as we sit here together and have conversation about the things that matter most. And the things that matter most is where we're going today, actually. We had a while back on Front Porch Talks, had started a book that we were doing a little bit of a study on and sharing that on our broadcast. And today we're going to return to that book. We had done about two chapters in the book. It's a small book by one of my mentors in life, Dr. Woody Stevens. The title of the book is How to Fill the Emptiness. And so if you'd like to hear the broadcast previous, you can go back and listen to the backlog of our broadcast at frontporchtalks.com, frontporchtalks.com, and you can find those broadcasts in the past, and they may help you, but each of these chapters stand on their own, so you don't need those two chapters in order to move ahead with us today. But the idea is that when we start out on a new year, a lot of times we're looking for meaning in our life. We certainly are looking for fullness, and we don't want emptiness. And this book title just seems to be right in line with where we are at this point of the year, How to Fill the Emptiness. If we're going to fill the emptiness, Grayson, we're going to have to begin again. We have to have a new beginning. And that's why Jesus came at Christmas time, really. His birth was not His beginning. It was our new beginning. Jesus has no beginning. He is part of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. They are not created. They are the Creator. And so when we think about this idea of a new beginning, we have hope that it is possible that we can be born again spiritually, because we are lost spiritually apart from Jesus entering our world as our Savior. And so that's why the Christmas season is such a celebration for those who are Jesus believers, because we know apart from Him coming to our world, we would have no hope of entering His world. And so this is the good news today. And so we must begin again. We must have a new beginning. And so in order to do that, we must be found, like a new year, beginning again. And I know I'm being a little redundant, but I want to make sure we get that idea in our mind. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, unless you be born again, you know, you will not have eternal life, basically, is what He was saying to Nicodemus. And the idea of being born again is a spiritual concept, that we are spiritual paupers, very poor spiritually. But because Jesus came to the planet, He offers His riches through relationship with Him, and that gives to us a new beginning, or we are born again. Now, let me read just a little bit from the book, and then Grace and I will comment as we move forward. What would you think if I told you that it is possible to start all over again? How would you like to have a brand new life? A life in which all the stuff of your past was washed away and you really began living life as a brand new person. It is like someone standing at the windows of your past life and pulling down the shades. The past is shut off. Another way of thinking about it is seeing a record of your life on a whiteboard. Everything is on there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then someone picks up a good eraser and wipes it absolutely, completely clean. No marks, no smudges, no smears, just clean. Did you know that is what God in Christ Jesus does for your life when you come to Him? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 of the New Testament. You can have a new life and live as you have never lived before. It is possible to have a rebirth in your spirit that enables you to live as a new person. You can be set free from the past, delivered from chains that shackle you, and know what it is to truly live. God offers you a new life as a new person as you choose to take these steps of trust and faith. Now, Grayson, before we give the steps, is there anything you'd like to add into the commentary about this idea of beginning again and how much of a wonderful opportunity that is that Jesus extends to each and every one of us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in order that He might offer to us delight for our difficult situation?
Well, the beginning of each new year is always a great reminder of the new beginning that we have after God sent His Son to be born to this earth so that He may die for our sins to give us new birth or to give us a new beginning, so to speak. And that new beginning is offered to everybody who comes to Him and asks Him into their heart. And that's just a great opportunity, no matter what you've done in the past or no matter what you've went through, that opportunity is available to you today to accept Christ into your life and to have a new beginning, to start today and be the first day of the rest of your life, and it can be a different life through Christ.
Exactly. And there are steps, Grayson, that we can take to make sure that we are beginning again, beginning to live life for the first time, really. I mean, really, we don't get a life until we come to know Jesus Christ. And I mean an eternal life. Certainly, we have a life here on this planet. But once it ends, I mean, we only have death and separation from God to see in our future, unless we call on Jesus and we have a new beginning. We are born again. And so there are three steps to life. I mean, there are many ways to explain it, but this is one right answer. The first step is repent. In Acts 3 and verse 19, we read these words: "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Repentance. Now, that's a word that sometimes we struggle to understand. It may sound like a doctrinal word, and I assume that it is, but it is a biblical word. And repentance is godly sorrow for our sin. It is literally a change of our mindset, a turning in the way we think. It is humbly acknowledging that God is God and we are not God. Repentance is recognizing our way is insufficient. Repentance is saying, "Oh God, have mercy on me." Repent is, after all, the first word John the Baptist proclaimed. He said in Matthew 3 and verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus also preached these words in Matthew 4 and verse 17. You see, when a person repents, he or she willingly turns his or her back on past sins and chooses a whole new direction for life. Individuals who repent change their attitude toward themselves, their actions, and even their friends. Repentant people think of themselves as new children of God, and they begin to act like who they are as children of the King. Now, if you would like to repent, in just a moment, I'm going to offer a prayer. And you can pray this simple, profound prayer with a deep sincerity in your heart, and you can begin again today listening to this broadcast. Before we go to the prayer, Grayson, when you hear the word repent, what are some things you might want to add to that before we offered a prayer to those listening?
Well, just coming to God and asking Him for forgiveness for something that you've done wrong, and that is being that you're coming to God and asking Him for forgiveness, you realize that what you've done is wrong, and you don't want to just ask for forgiveness, but you want to ask God to help make a change in your life so you don't make that mistake again. You want to change or start over, so to speak, and for God to give you a second chance to do better next time. So I just think of repenting as coming to God and admitting that you've done wrong and that you want to change and ask Him to do that change in your life.
That's good, Grayson. Good words. While you were speaking, this thought came to my mind. Repenting from sin means that we don't have to be found repeating sin. We can turn from sin and turn to Him, turn to Jesus. And He wants to make worshipers out of sinners. Now, we all are born sinners, no doubt about it. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of what Jesus did by coming to Bethlehem, going to Calvary, coming out of the empty tomb, ascending back to the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, and all of that beautiful, beautiful delivery to us, God gave to us an opportunity to go from being sinners to being worshipers. And now what I have found, Grayson, is we all are capable of sinning at any time. It's a choice. But if we're worshiping God, that really does overwhelm the idea of sinning against God. And so He wants to turn us into worshipers. Repent means that we turn from the direction we're going and we go the way God is going. We turn from darkness, we turn to light. We turn from emptiness and we turn toward wholeness or fullness. Here is a prayer. If you'd like to pray it in your heart right now, just say amen as I go along with the words. This is one right answer for a prayer of repentance. Lord, forgive me. I'm truly sorry for willfully doing what I knew was wrong. Right now, I turn away from acting that way. With your help, Jesus, I change my behaviors. I choose to obey you in all things. I confess that I have selfishly sinned against you. I have lived for me and not for you. I turn from living according to my way to living according to your way. You are my new way, Jesus. I choose to live like the person you designed me to be through your Holy Spirit. I pray it in your name, Jesus, and I give thanks to the Father. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you really are serious about it, I can tell you that you have taken the first step to beginning again. And you have turned from sin, you have turned to Him. You've turned your back on darkness, you've turned your face to the light. And you can go from emptiness in your soul to fullness, to wholeness. Indeed, you can. The second step is to believe and confess. Now, we can't just repent, we can't just turn around. We must believe. It's going to take faith to begin again. Now, in that prayer, there was prayers of faith in there. But I want to accent these three steps so that there's an understanding about what repentance is, what turning around really is about, what beginning again truly entails. So step number two is believe and confess. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You see, believing is more than just acknowledging there is a God. According to James chapter 2 and verse 19, even the demons believe in God and shudder. It is more than just trusting God to get you through an operation successfully. It is more than just believing God will bring you home safely from a long journey. Believing is the faith that results in salvation. It is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal destiny. So then, salvation is not gained by trusting in your efforts at being good. It is not earned by doing good enough deeds in order to gain an in with God. Salvation comes by abandoning your destiny into the control of the one who designed you, and readily admitting your faith in Christ to others. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So in a moment, we're going to pray another paragraph on that prayer of repentance. We're going to pray that prayer of believing and confessing. But before we offer that prayer, Grayson, are some things you want to say about faith or about believing, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord?
Yeah, I think if we're coming to God and we're praying to God, we need to have faith that what we're praying is going to come true. Otherwise, I think our prayers are just kind of empty words or just kind of going through the motions. But we really want to believe and have faith in what we're praying and that God can answer our prayers, because He can and will, not always in the way we want Him to, but He will answer our prayers.
Indeed, He will. And we want to pray this prayer right now, knowing that He will answer it. So if you want to just say amen as I pray, amen means so be it. I agree with it. So just in your heart, say amen if you agree with this prayer. Lord, I believe You are the living Son of God who died for me. I believe You have risen from the dead and You are Lord of all. I make You Lord of my life. I make You Lord of my destiny. I believe You paid the penalty for all of my sins and with Your blood purchased my salvation. I believe You are giving me the free gift of eternal life. I trust You now for my eternal destiny in heaven. I commit my life to You and declare that You are my Savior. I pray this in Your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. So there's kind of the second step in the second prayer. And so we saw the first step, that's repentance, turning from sin, turning to Him. The second step, believe and confess. So we let Him know that we believe that His life is enough to give us life. And His death is the payment for that life. And His resurrection guarantees it. And we confess that He is worthy of being Lord of our lives. Not just Savior, but Master Controller, Lord. The third step is the word receive. So we repent, we believe and confess, and then we receive. You know, whenever a gift is offered, you must receive the gift. Jesus declares in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Now in the days of Jesus, and still the custom in the Middle East today, is if you offer someone a meal, if you're going to sit down face to face and share a meal with someone, it means three things: love, forgiveness, and friendship. And so in this passage in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus says, "I will come in and eat with you," He is saying, if you open the door, I'll come in. I will offer to you love, forgiveness, and friendship. Now in this moment, you can open the door of your heart, your mind, your soul to Jesus. You can invite Him in. Yes, into your life to become your life. By faith, receive Christ according to His holy word. When He said, "I will come in," He meant that. Will you trust Him? To receive Christ is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. It is to be born again, to begin again. As the gospel says in John 1 and verse 12, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." So to receive Christ as your Lord is to be born of God, a new creation, yes, a new person. So we have a prayer that goes along with receiving Christ, receiving the gift of eternal life. But before we get into that prayer, give you a few moments and give Grayson a few moments, maybe to talk about how important it is to receive what Christ has already accomplished on our behalf.
Yeah, the gift of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life is ours. It's there for the taking. All we have to do is receive it, but we have to choose to receive it. God's not going to make us receive it. Like He says, if we'll open the door to Him, He'll come in and have a meal with us. We have to open the door to God and ask Him to come into our lives. He won't force His way into our lives. So I think it's huge. Receiving sounds so easy, but many times we don't receive things that are there for us, that God is waiting for us and He just wants us to offer Him to come in and to have communion with us and to have a relationship with us.
That's good, Grayson. Good words, good truth. And so we've prayed the prayer of repentance, the prayer of confession and believing, and now we're going to pray the prayer of receiving. So if you'd like to pray this prayer, just open your heart, and as I pray it, just say amen. So be it. I want that. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my life to you. I invite you to come into my heart, mind, soul, strength. You are forgiving me, redeeming me, yes, indeed, saving me. I am receiving you as my Lord and my Savior. I confess you are my God and I am your child. Thank you. Thank you for coming into my life right now. Be my life, Jesus. Be my everything. Amen. So you are beginning again if you've prayed these prayers today with all of your heart. If you believe that you can begin again in Christ Jesus, then today we say, let it happen. Let the best days be the rest of your days. And those are days when we know that we are in right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what newness of life is all about. It's that simple and that profound that we can confess. Yes, we can. We can confess Him as our Lord. And so today we want to live lives that are truly repentant. We have turned from darkness, turned to light. We certainly want to live lives of faith because the Scripture says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we want to believe and confess because we must confess with our mouth. We don't want to be ashamed of this new beginning that we're making. And then we receive, as Grayson said, seems like a simple thing. But you know, even during the Christmas season, some of us have a lot of trouble receiving gifts. We'd rather be the ones giving the gifts. But sometimes receiving is the best part, even though it is humbling, because we know that we have nothing really to give to God except our lives, except our sin. And He takes our lives and takes that sin and gives us a new life and gives us holiness that belongs to Him. Now, this is a beautiful exchange. And here, midway through the first month of the new year, I think it's a great way to change your life. You know, a lot of times we talk about New Year's resolutions. Now, many people already have made those and broken them. You know, sometimes we make different resolutions and our heart is good and all that, but we kind of give up. We lack discipline or we just don't want to go through with what we resolve to do. But I think that when you call on Jesus, even if it's 15 days into the new year, I believe that it's more of a revolution than a resolution. A revolution brings real change and change that is desired. So my prayer is that you will have a year of revolution, meaning that you will have a new beginning. Yes, you will be found beginning again and having life in Jesus Christ, letting Him be your life day by day, even moment by moment. So welcome to the family of God. As you sincerely prayed the prayer of confession, faith, and acceptance, God heard your prayer. His promises are eternally true, even now, especially now. He has entered your heart and is at work in you according to His will and His good purposes. You have put your hope of salvation and eternal life on His faithful word. And Romans 5 and verse 5 tells us that you will not be disappointed. Praise the Lord. You will receive Christ. When you receive Christ into your heart, you literally become a child of the King. You become a part of God's royal kingdom. This means you will begin to live and act like royalty because that's who you now are. Royalty does not live in the gutters of life, but always takes the high road. God's kingdom children live with joy and peace because they have discovered who they really are. They are children of the King, King Jesus. Yes, the baby King who was born in Bethlehem. And He grew up to become our Savior on the cross. And after He had taken our sin to hell and left it there, He came back out of that grave and He gave to us life everlasting. And because of His resurrection, we have the hope of our own resurrection. Our lives are renewed, refreshed, revived, reclaimed, and we get our lives back because of Jesus Christ. Grayson, is there anything you'd like to add to today's broadcast?
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, and something I think I've said before on Front Porch Talks is that if He loved us enough to die for us, then we should love him enough to live lives for him, live our lives for him. And certainly he, by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, is what allowed us to become his children and part of his family, and will allow us to have the opportunity of eternal life if we just ask him into our lives and live lives that are pleasing to him and lives that are worthy to be called his children. And we shouldn't take that lightly. We shouldn't take his son's death on the cross lightly, and we shouldn't take the fact that we are children of his if we ask him into our lives lightly. We should live lives that are pleasing to him.
Amen and amen, Grayson. Those are good words. Going to leave you now with a short song because the broadcast has almost ended. But we pray that today, that life has begun anew for you today if you did not already know Jesus. If you did, I pray that today has been a rededication of sorts, a renewing of the vows with the right relationship that leads to eternal life. So in Jesus' name, we pray that today has been a half hour of hope for your life. And we're going to leave you with a little bit of light, our friend Jim Cole singing, Light of the World. God bless you.
Light of the world, my heart is yours. I long to serve you as my Lord. I long to walk in your ways. I long to know you. You are a refuge for my soul, a river of life where healing flows, a giver of sight to the blind, soon coming King. Light of the world, my eyes seen so many sad, sad things, but the hope for the broken hearted ones has risen with healing in his wings to bring light to the world. Light of the world, my thanks to you for all of the things you've brought me through, guiding my steps with your eyes, leading me homeward. All that I am or hope to be is a kind of a friend you've been to me, faithful in all of your ways. I worship you. Light of the world, my eyes have seen so many sad, sad things, but the hope for the broken hearted ones is risen with healing in his wings to bring light to the world.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.